In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we continue with the re-entering the womb of the Celestial Father, Part 3. We're in the bottom of page 3. We're starting volume 30, 320-1932. Good daughter. So the first thing is you have to understand, the boy came up and said, good teacher. And he goes, why do you call me good? Don't you know that only God is good? Do you recognize me as God, basically? And this is what's here. Good daughter. Jesus is asking us to recognize Luisa, not as God, but as the little daughter of the divine will. So he says, you must know, another command of Jesus, that my divine will possess and contain everything within itself, all the divine joys, all the divine beauties, everything comes from the divine will without dispersing anything. The divine will contains everything within itself. The divine will can be said that the divine will carries everyone and everything within its divine immensity, the immense womb of light. So everything lives in the divine will, with this difference, that the one who with all her will wants to live in it and lets herself be subdued by its dominion will live as its daughter, and as daughter it's constituted heiress of love, of beauties, of the goods of her mother, in such a way that this divine mother is all intent on embellishing, enriching, and making this little daughter rejoice, while the one who wants to live of the human will and does not let herself be subdued by the divine will's dominion lives in this holy will, yet lives not as daughter, but as stranger. And all the joys convert for this creature into bitternesses. All the riches were changed for this daughter, but like a stranger, all the joys convert for this creature into bitternesses, riches into poverty, beauties into ugliness. So that's where we are. God, we're children of God, yet we're living in our human will. So everything is bitterness. We're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. We're sinning. And the reason is we haven't entered into this life that Jesus gave to Luisa. So when we link ourselves to Luisa, we can begin to enter into this life. It's just beginning. Why? Because you're always going to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative until you're completely peaceful, joyful, and happy. So Jesus is showing us this. He wants us to have divine joys, divine beauties, divine happiness. But if we're living in our human will, all that we have is bitterness. And Jesus says the worst thing for humanity is living in their human misery. That's the worst thing. So Jesus is asking us to let go of the human and to begin to embrace the divine. Okay, what does that mean? He says it very, very clearly. He says, the one who with all her will wants to live in the divine will, with all her will, lets herself be subdued by the divine will's dominion, can live as a daughter, constituted an heiress of the divine joys, the divine beauties, the divine goods of her mother, in such a way that this divine mother, the divine will, is all intent on embellishing, enriching, and making this daughter rejoice. This is what God wants for us. But we have to let go of what we possess. And what we possess is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's we've got to let go of that. We've got to will with all of our might to live in the divine will. And that means God is going to put us to the test. This is number 4 over there. These are the 5 things that you have to do in order to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. to receive the divine qualities of God. And number four, it says, test me. I'm open to the test. So God is going to put you in a situation where you're going to be peaceful, joyful, and happy or not. And it's up to you. It's really up to you how you want to live. Page 4, volume 30, 515, 1932. Therefore, our knowledges about the divine fiat shall make them accustomed to living as children. So the more that you read, the more that you understand these truths, the knowledges in the book of heaven, the more you will begin to live as a true child of God. This is what God's waiting for. This is what God wants. He's waiting for us to live this abundant life. Then, and then shall cease every marvel that our supreme will gives to its children, the great gift of our holy divine will. And then shall cease every marvel that our supreme will gives to its children, and of the great gift of our most holy divine will. It is right. The right of children to receive the properties of the Father. It is a duty of the Father to give his goods to the children. One who wants to live as a stranger does not merit to possess the possessions of the Father. Even more, because our paternity craves, yearns for, and burns with the desire of want, to give this gift, so that the one will be the will of his children. And then our paternal love shall rest when we see the work that came forth from our creative hands in the womb of our volition, in our house, and our kingdom populated by our dear children. So Jesus is waiting for us to want this more than anything. That's the thing that our God wants. He wants us to possess this more than anything. Every night Jesus asks you, what do you want? The Father asks us every night, what do you want? You know, after we go through our act of contrition and plead in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, that God have mercy on us, that we enter into the kingdom, that the kingdom be established, then he says to us, what do you want? What can I give you? Now, that's a good Heavenly Father. Every night he asks us that. How do we respond to God? How do we respond? Again, it's very, very important that we get into a dialogue with God every day. When we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, get into a dialogue with Jesus, adoring him. Again, you adore him, you love him, you praise him, you thank him, you bless him. That's the first 15 minutes. The second 15 minutes, you thank God, praise God, glorify God, worship God. You know, the third 15 minutes, the second is you're contrite, you're sorry. The third is thanking, praising, glorifying. And then fourth is supplication. You don't go in front of Jesus saying, I want, I want, I want, I want. You got to do it properly. You adore him, you're contrite, you're thanking him, and then you supplicate, then you petition. But your petition will be changing as you get into the divine will. Because the petition is to do what Jesus just said here. Our paternal love rests when we see the work that came forth from our creative hands in the womb of our volition, in our house, in our kingdom populated by our dear children. When we finally understand that that's where we're supposed to be, our petitions, our supplications are much different than before. Why? Because we want what God wants. Not snapping our fingers saying, I want this, I want that. It's to say to the Lord, whatever you want is what I want. This is what I ask. This is what I plead for. And it's basically to get rid of the human and to embrace the divine. See, the human will is miserable. We were never supposed to live like this. And what is the human will? The human will is when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this any longer. I don't want to live like this any longer. I want to live in your most holy divine will. So when you say, well, what's the human will like? When you make a good confession, that's the human will. It's far from God. And God says, I want now that you begin to use your free will to choose to live in my most holy divine will, not your human will any longer. And when we do that, then the kingdom of God is populated by God's dearest children. Volume 30, 6-12, 1932. My blessed daughter, for the one who lives in my divine will, everything is present. Past, present, and future do not exist for that soul. Everything is in act. Everything is happening. So this is, again, this is very important that we recognize that to enter into God's will, it's not about the past. It's not about the future. It's the present, to live in that moment, to adore Him, to love Him, to repair for all that has been done, and to get everyone ready for the kingdom in the era to come. So he says, the past, the present, future, the past and the future don't exist. It's the present, to live now in God. Everything is an act. And since she enters the divine order, our paternal goodness does not want to give a love past that it had in creation, or a love that is to come. This would not breach into the heart of the creature, because to her it shall seem as if the love was unleashed from our womb in creation would be like a love and a work that are not directed to her and to those of the future. Like love and work to be hoped for, more so since in us, Triune God, past and future don't even exist. Past and future are for the one who lives outside of our most holy divine will. That's where the devil lives. See, that's what God is trying to do. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you're praising Him, glorifying Him, and loving Him, an hour can seem like a moment. Why? Because the past and the future don't exist. The present, only the eternal now exists. And that's what God is going to teach you. He's going to teach you how to live not in the past, not in the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. Not in the future, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin. But in the present moment with God. Because, he says, the past and the future are for those who live outside our divine will, because she looks only at the exterior of our works, not inside of them. While the soul who lives in the divine will looks at our works inside of us, Triune God, and looks at our creation as continuous for each soul, past, present, and future. So, for the happy creature who lives in our volition, we, Triune God, let her see and touch with her own hand our act of stretching out the heavens, of creating the sun, the wind, the air, the sea, and so forth, all for her. Everything was made for us. As you enter into the divine will, everything becomes yours. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything becomes yours. We get a glimpse of it with St. Francis, sun and moon, brother, sun, sister, moon. You get a glimpse of it with the canticle of Daniel. Sun and moon, praise the Lord. Nights and days, praise the Lord. Everything belongs to us. You can look at the sun and say, thank you. You can look at the clouds in the sky, thank you. And I love you too. You can look at the ocean, thank you. And I love you too. What happens is you really become a child of God. You really begin to see that everything out there in creation is yours. That's all for you. And as she sees and comprehends with clarity our intense love in each created thing for her, our divine power, divine wisdom, in ordering them for love of her in such a way that the soul feels involved as though drowned under the waves of our love, of our power, of our wisdom, of our goodness, of each created thing. When you look at the insects, and it's a completely different way. Jesus made this for me. You know, I mean, everything that's out there is for you, and you can thank Him and praise Him. I mean, we have to have. Remember, Jesus said you have to have the faith. You have to have the faith of a child. Only a child can enter into the kingdom of God. When you present a flower to a child, they're in awe of it. And that's what we have to do. We have to become in awe of what God has done in all around us. Everything is ours, Jesus says. And he says, and nobody thanks Him. Nobody praises Him. Nobody glorifies Him. We say, oh, it's too cold, it's too wet, it's too rainy, it's too hot. We're always complaining. And that's the human misery. That's the human will. So Jesus says to us, I want you to look in the divine will. I want you to see in the divine will. Volume 7, 24, 1932. Our word is a birth from our divine womb, and therefore it is our child. See, every word is a divine life. And as children, they bear the good that was generated in their father. So instead of oppressing yourself, thinking rather that your Jesus wants to make you new surprises of his divine words, so that you dispose yourself to receiving a good so great. So every day that you read, it's a new day that God has given to you, a new beginning. And when you read that word, 10 years from now, it'll be more spectacular because you've read it 10 more different times. When you read again in 100 years from now, it's going to be more spectacular. 1,000 years from now, it'll be more spectacular. Why? The Word of God is divine life. When He speaks, it's not just a typed word on a page. It becomes alive in you. So every time that you read, God is going to fill you with it's like a sparkler, divine sparks as you read. It's more beautiful than what it was before. It's deeper, it's more expansive what God is showing us. Again, He wants us to begin to live this gift. So if you dispose yourself to receiving a good so great. So, Volume 32, 1933, our contentment in seeing the creature rise to us brings us what with so much love we gave to the soul and we give to the soul. So it's continuous. It's again, the gratuitousness of God is giving and he gave it to us and giving to us continuously. Our will acts as guides and brings her even to us in order to make the exchange of what we have given her in such a way that the one who lives in our divine will is the collector of all our works, and she brings them to us into our womb in order to tell us, I love you with your own love. I glorify you by means of your own power. You have given me everything and I give you everything. It's to participate in God. He's given us everything. We have to begin to see from a divine perspective. This is not what the saints have taught us, because they didn't have Louisa. What Jesus is teaching us is what he taught Louisa. And what Louisa put down on paper is for us. So this prayer here, I love you with your own love. I glorify you by means of your own power. You have given me everything, and I, God, give everything back to you. This is the mutual exchange. He breathes into us, we breathe into him. It's constant that the God wants us to enter into this gift. But this is not everything. Volume 33, 11, 26, 1933. My divine will is not content with making her go around in all our works, but after she has finished making her rounds, letting her know so many things about creation, and filling her even to the brim with divine love, it conducts her in its arms into the womb of the Supreme Being, which casts her like a little stone into the interminable sea of its divine attributes. And the little daughter of our divine will, what does she do? Like a little stone cast into the ocean, the sea, makes all of the waters of the sea ripple. See, it's God wants us to participate in him. So as you throw a stone into the pond, into the ocean, it causes a ripple. Everything that we do in the acts of the divine will causes all of creation to participate. It's not just, remember the time Louisa coughed and the whole room sounded like an explosion. And everybody goes, what was that? And it's Jesus saying, see, even in your cough, it affects all of creation. And that's what God is trying to show us. every thought, every word, every deed that we do in the divine will, one with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, is changing the face of the earth. It is. That the new era has begun with Louisa. And we got to begin to live this new era as the apostles lived the new era of the kingdom of redemption. They went out with the Jews and they said, we're not going to have Passover once a year. We're going to have Passover every day. We're going to have the holy sacrifice of the Mass because Jesus is the Lamb. And so, I mean, that changed everything. And instead of saying the chair of Moses, which all the Jews had in every synagogue, it was the chair of Peter. It's everything will change. Now, with us, it's the same thing. Everything's beginning to change. We're beginning to live this gift the way Jesus has asked us to through Louisa. It's really a new beginning that's coming that God is asking us to participate in. Again, like a little stone cast into the sea, it makes all the waves, all the waters of the ripple of the sea ripple. So she moves all the sea of our divine being. That's what we do as well. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. And while she swims in the divine well, she drowns with love, with its light, with its sanctity, with its wisdom, with its goodness, and so forth. This is, again, divine love, divine light, divine sanctity, divine wisdom, divine goodness. It's entering into the life of God. Oh, how beautiful it is to see this soul, to hear what she says while feeling drowned. What does she say? All of your love is mine, and I put all of your love in act to pray to you, Lord God, that the kingdom of your will come on earth, that your divine sanctity is mine, your divine light is mine, your divine goodness is mine, your divine mercy is mine, and it is not my littleness that praised you, but no, it is your oceans of divine power, divine goodness that praised you, that urge you, that assail you, that want your holy divine will to reign on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see what God is doing? We're the ones that are calling the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Even though the prayer, the Our Father, has been said for 2,000 years, the Our Father is being fulfilled by the little children of the holy divine will. May your kingdom come and reign in me on earth as the saints possess you in heaven. Volume 33, 12, 18, 1933, my blessed daughter, your marvel shall cease if, looking well into this ocean of my will, you see where, how, and when every creature was formed. See, we're going to participate in this divine I love you. We already are participating in it. But Jesus wants us to be aware of it. He wants us to see what is happening. Therefore, where? In the womb of the eternal God. Who? God himself gave them origin. How? The Supreme Being himself formed the series of his thoughts, the number of his words, the order of his works, the motion of his steps, and the continuous heartbeat of his heart. God has everything planned for us. He knew what Adam was going to do. He knew what the Blessed Mother was going to do. He knew what Louisa was going to do. He knows what we're going to do. He's got it all planned. And in the divine will, when we say fiat, we participate in what God has planned, not what we have planned. What we have planned is you know, limitless. Limited. What we have planned is useless. What we have planned is nonsense compared to what God has planned. Remember what he says to Louisa, I'm going to make of you a divine masterpiece. Each person, I'm going to make a divine masterpiece. So what do? We try to dress like everybody else and look like everybody else. Even in Hollywood, they do all sorts of cutting procedures to make them look important. But that's not what God wants. He has created us uniquely different because he loves his uniqueness. And he wants us to become a divine masterpiece the way he has created us, not the way we want to look, but the way he has created us. It's going to be glorious what God has stepped, what God has planned. He says very clearly, in fact, God gave them such beauty, such order, such harmony, as to be able to find himself in the creature, with such divine fullness that man would not be able to find the place to put anything of his that was not placed in him by God himself. God has this planned. You know, everybody tries to, you know, outdo their neighbor. Why? The only thing we should try to outdo is to love God and our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's what we have to outdo. It's all based on love. The divine will is all love. To enter into this life is to enter into the life of divine love. We, in looking at man, remained enraptured in seeing that in the little human circle, our divine power had enclosed our divine work. And in our divine emphasis of our divine love, we told Adam, "How very beautiful you are. You are our divine work. You shall be our divine glory, the outlet of our divine love, and the reflection of our divine wisdom, the echo of our divine power, the bearer of our eternal divine love." And we loved Adam with eternal love, without beginning and without end. And when this creature formed, but when was this creature formed in us? Ab eternal, from eternity. God knew from the beginning of time that he was going to do this. He did not exist in time, but in eternity, and always existed in eternity. And he has a place in us and is palpitating life in the love of his God. See, this is what God is waiting for, that we again enter into this divine life. Not the human misery. Why are we filled with peace, joy, and happiness? Because God is reigning in us. Why are we filled with peace, joy, and happiness? As you read the Book of Heaven, Jesus is speaking to us. As we're reading the Book of Heaven, Jesus is teaching us. As we're reading the Book of Heaven, everything changes for us. Everything changes for us. Volume 33, 128, 1934. As I was making my round of the divine fiat, my poor mind now stopped at one point of its divine acts, now at another, in order to look at, in some, the divine beauty, in some, the divine power, in some, the intermittability, and in others, the creative divine will. They seem to me all the supreme qualities exposed in all the created in order to love mankind. Everything that God has done is to love us. In order to make themselves known, to fraternize with creatures and to take them as on their own lap and bring the creature back into the womb of the Creator and from where everything had come forth, such that all the acts of the divine will are powerful helps, revealers of those who let themselves be dominated by them, and they act as bearers of the soul to the celestial fatherland. So everything brings us back to God, brings us back to heaven. Heaven is coming to earth. This is what's so essential. Heaven is coming to earth, the fulfillment of the Our Father. So Jesus is asking us to begin to see things from a divine perspective, no longer limited, no longer focused on ourselves. That's where most people are. I mean, the teenagers the poor teenagers, what they are, they're focused on themselves, and it's misery. And a lot of us continue to do that today, focused on ourselves. What am I going to do? What I'm going to say? No. In the divine will, it's always Jesus. What are we going to do today? Jesus, what are we going to have for lunch today? Jesus, what are we going to pray today? It's not to be focused on self. So while she, and that's making your round. While I continue my round of the divine will, but its sweet empire, its irresistible strength, its love, its inextinguishable light, re-poured themselves over my littleness, that as enraptured found itself in the sea of the divine will, and oh, the sweet surprises in all its new ways, its enrapturing beauty, its immensity that carries everyone and everything as its womb. What strikes one more is its love for the creature. It seems that it is all eye in order to look at her, all heart in order to love her, all hands and feet in order to carry her clasped to its bosom, and in order to give her step. The one thing that's really important is when we were in Rome City last month, we did a talk on Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling. And if you notice, her eyes are closed, she's veiled, but she's looking with the eye of God. This is something that the Illuminati have captured. The flames of hell always mimic the light of heaven. And so what you see is, this is what God is going to ask us to do. Always new, enrapturing beauty, immensity that carries everyone and everything as its womb. But what strikes one more is to the divine will's love for the soul. It seems that the divine will is all eye in order to look at her. We're going to begin to see. Jesus says, I made the human senses for God. We're to see God, to hear God, to smell God, to touch God, to taste God. And even though Scripture says no man can see God and live, Scripture says that when Jesus returns, we will see Him and we will become like Him. That's the divine will. You have to understand what's coming. It's, you know, people say, oh, that'll be 100,000 years from now. No, it's very, very close. This is very, very close. How do we know it's very, very close? On November 8th, we read, Jesus said to Louisa, all generations will call you blessed. Louisa is going to be beatified. And she's going to be known as Blessed Louisa. Why? Jesus says that's what's going to happen. Volume 13. November 8th. It's going to happen. What does that mean? That means the new era begins. Once Louisa is known, once the kingdom is on earth, the devil is gone. He's been banished from heaven. When heaven comes to earth, he's banished from earth. You have to understand, it doesn't matter how bad it looks out there. What matters is, are you ready for what God is going to bring about? And it says it right here. It seems that the divine will is all eye in order to look at her, all heart in order to love her, all hands and feet in order to carry her clasped to its bosom, in order to give her step. Oh, how it yearns to give its life to the creature so that she could live of divine will. It seems that it's a delirium that it has, a pledge, a promise that it has taken, a victory at whatever cost it wants to make, that its life would form the life of the creature. Volume 33, 7:15, 1934. My life, my divine will is not a joke. I mean, this is not something that's this is not something that is what most people see. Most people don't want to even read the divine will. These are good people. These are holy people. These are saintly people. And so Jesus says, this isn't a joke. Life in my divine will is not a joke. But operating life and continuous activity of God reigning in the soul. Rather, you must know that there is nothing that has been done by God. Nothing done by the saints. Nothing done by everything that is not given to the one, Louisa, who lives in my villa, my holy divine will. Because there is nothing of good that does not belong to the divine will. And as you, Louisa, feel the need of possessing everything. And now, that's what he's saying to us. Do you feel the need of possessing everything? Do you feel the need to possess the sun? Do you feel the need to possess the moon, the stars? Do you need to feel the possession of everything? I mean, this is what God is asking. So everyone feels the need of giving himself to you, Louisa. But do you know why they want to pass through the channel of the human will? In order to give the good that they possess, to duplicate the good, duplicate the glory of their acts to their God. In fact, as you desire to search them out, so our works and those of the whole of heaven desire to be sought. It seems that they say to one another, and to me, do not pass over me, basically. Take me in your power. Unite us all together so that the one is the love, one is the glory of everyone, so that the supreme will that has given birth to us in its womb, the divine womb, and has given us life. See, everything around there, every plant, animal, and vegetable says, don't pass over me. When we go to heaven, when we go to back to Eden, the grass on the ground is going to say, step on me, walk on me. And it's not going to hurt it. It's not going to even crush the plant. It can't. Walk on me. I mean, you know, sit on me. Dance on me. Breathe me. The air is going to say, breathe me. The food's going to say, eat me. Everything was made for man. And we have to begin to know this. And that's why we don't waste anything. Jesus says, you know, collect everything so nothing goes to waste. And seven hampers were filled. Here in America, we waste everything. And we got to stop that. I remember when I go out to eat, I make sure that I try to eat everything on my plate. And people say, do you want more? And they throw more food on my plate. No, I just want to clean my plate. Are you hungry? No, I just want to clean this. I don't want to waste anything. And again, don't waste anything. Everything is made for you. And that's why, you know, I like cooking myself, because I know exactly how much I want and how much I don't want. It's to make sure that, I mean, people are starving in the world, and Jesus says there's no need for that. There's plenty of food. There's no need for anyone to be starving. So again, it's very, very important. Therefore, living in my divine will is the prodigy of prodigies. It is the unity of everything. It is to possess everything, to receive and to give everything. It's to participate in God. And since I, God, want to always give to the creature, I ardently yearn for the soul in my fiat. So again, fiat, fiat, fiat. Always say fiat. In order to give her what I, God, want, and to fulfill my desires, God's desires. God has plans. You know, that's why when you wake up in the morning, you say, what are we going to have today? Don't say, I'm going to have this. Talk to Jesus about it. Talk to Jesus about it. Well, this is what I do. Yeah, I know you do that. But what does Jesus want? Talk to him about it. Volume 33, 7/20, 1934. My daughter, there is no created thing, animated or inanimate, that does not begin life by contemplating our divine will and giving us, Triune God, their tribute. No created thing does not begin life by contemplating our divine will. When was the last time we contemplated the divine will of God? When did we give the Triune God their tribute for what we're doing in the day? From the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. Where is the Triune God? Where is he? Already the whole creation is nothing other than a single act of our divine will. Already it is at its royal place. That's true. And although unaware, yet it is operating life of the light of the sun. It's operating life of the strength and empire of the wind. It's operating life of the immensity of space. God is in charge. Everything out there that we see, smell, hear, taste, and touch is of God. And he says, where is our tribute? He says, no one thanks him. No one thanks him. In each created thing, it develops its life. It holds everything and everyone in its womb in a way that no one can move or do a motion if the divine will does not want it. The veils of created things give us continuous tribute, the great glory of the great honor that they are dominated by our most holy divine will. Now the creature remains. Who can say, original sin being removed, that the newborn is not innocent and holy? And if baptism is given, a period of life of the baby, even to such that actual sin does not enter into his soul, it is not the baby an act of my divine will. And if he moves his step, if he speaks, if he thinks, if he makes his little hands act, all these little acts wanted and disposed by my most holy divine will, are they not tributes in the glory that we, Triune God, receive? Perhaps they shall be unaware, but my divine will receives from that little nature what the divine will wants. It is only sin that makes one lose sanctity and puts the operating life of my divine will outside of the soul. Because if there was no sin, we, Triune God, carry the soul in our womb. We, Triune God, surround the soul with our divine sanctity, and therefore the soul cannot do less than feel in herself the operating divine life of my holy divine will. See, therefore, everything and everyone having beginning are born together with my divine will, innocent and holy and worthy of God who had created them. But who is the one who conserves this innocence and holiness? It is Louisa, the one who is always at her place in my divine will. Louisa alone is the triumphant one. Louisa alone in that space of the universe. That's not saying Our Lady is. Our Lady is Mother of God, Theotokos, Jesus, the Son of God. But who is the soul born of original sin who lives in my divine will, Jesus says? It is Louisa. She is the standard bearer. I like to picture her with that flag that Joan of Arc had. She gathers together the whole army of creation in order to bring them back to God with a speaking voice, with a full knowledge, with glory, the honor, the tribute of everyone and everything. Therefore, one can say that my divine will is everything for the creature. It is her prime act of birth. It is the continuation of her conversation with God. That's Louisa. Therefore, one can say that my divine will is everything for Louisa. Is it everything for us? It's the prime act of Louisa. Is it the prime act of us? Is it that birth, the continuous conversation with God, with us? That's what you have when you read the volumes. That's what you have. It's being in conversation with Louisa. Finally, volume 33, 10, 21, 34. Now, my daughter, the sign if the soul lives in my divine will is to love, to operate, and to even suffer spontaneously. Force does not exist. So again, it's the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. This is what the divine will gives you. The freedom of the sons and daughters of God. You're not forced to do anything. There's no rules or regulations in the divine will. There's nothing. People say, where do I begin? Where do you want to begin? What should I read? What do you want to read? What is Jesus asking you to read? Is it the Hours of the Passion? Is it the Virgin Mary? Is it You Must Know book? What does Jesus want? Is it the prodigies? What do you want to read? A lot of times we have books all over the house, and you can read something at different times. Jesus will say, read this. You go, okay, let me read it. Why? He's asking us, what do you want? What do you want to know more about? How deep do you want to enter into this life? Jesus says very clearly, my will that has her with itself communicates its spontaneity to the soul in order to have the soul with itself in its divine love that runs, in its divine works that never cease. Otherwise, it would be annoying to have the soul in its womb of light without the characteristic of its spontaneous way. Rather, the creature, all eyes, to look at my divine will, my divine fiat, because she does not want to remain behind. She wants to run together in order to love with its divine love, in order to find herself in its divine works, so as to exchange it and to praise its divine power and its creative magnificence. Therefore, run, always run. Let your soul, without force, plunge itself into my most holy divine will, in order to cross together its ways, loving and full of strategisms for love of creatures, the love of souls. So here we have Jesus telling us why he loves Louisa, and he's asking us, do you want to participate in this as well? And this, the whole gift is, do you want this? And if you say yes, then Jesus says, prove it. Let me test you to see whether you want it or not. Because we get to the point of emptying ourselves of all that is human in order to embrace the divine. And what does that mean? That means to begin to receive all the divine qualities of God. As much as you want, 30, 60, or 100 fold. As much or as little as you want. There's no limit to this. The only one that will limit you is yourself. So the more that you desire this gift, the more you seek this gift, the more this gift is going to reign in you. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.